When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
M. Oh.
M. Mom!
And welcome to the Sissy That Talk Show podcast. I'm Joseph Shepherd, and I am joined by the fabulous Cornbread the Snack Jeté. We just had a lot of fun on the talk show, didn't we?
Actually, that was very entertaining. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Good.
I will tell you if I did. It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, I know, it was a joy.
So now we're going to get a little bit more intimate.
Ooh.
Because it's a podcast.
Like, what kind of intimate, though? Like, personal question intimate or, like, nasty stuff?
Both.
Yeah, and I'm super excited.
So
whatever it is.
So I would like to start off by asking you, I saw recently your Out of the Closet video.
Yeah.
But you had said previously, which I thought, that you weren't going to work with RuPaul or World of Wonder anymore. Mm-mm. So how did that happen?
Wrong.
That's wrong.
Girl. It's probably because you didn't get to see it again on Twitter.
Yeah,
because
it was
blocked. So what I said, I was not going to season 15 and I was not doing All Stars. And if this is the problem, people like, not just seeing you, I'm not talking about you at all, but like the internet in general, taking a twist off. My words were blatant that I wasn't going to season 15. It wasn't my choice because it wasn't. And I'm not doing nobody's All-Stars because I was not going back to All-Stars. If I'm not doing a regular season, then I'm not doing it. Those are my words. I never said I would not go back to Drag Race. I just was not going back to season 15, which I didn't. Yeah. And I think what happens is people taking it and they like run because they want such a bad situation to happen with Drag Race or like such a... there's so many war stories about people who don't have great experiences on Drag Race for their own personal reasons or whatever. And so they expect it just to be bad for everyone across the board. And everybody expected it to be bad for me because, oh, she's a little loud and plus size and she's black. So they expected automatically I was going to hate my time there. So when I made that tweet and that post, it just went to, ooh, she's proving us right. I knew this was going to be the case. And it wasn't. It's just I was not offered 15. And I may or may not have had some kind of question or quest about an All-Stars. And I just said, I'm not doing 15. It wasn't my choice, but I'm not going to All-Stars. And people took that as, screw World of Wonder. And I'm like, no, that was not the case whatsoever.
Why weren't you asked back for 15?
I don't know. I don't work there.
So you weren't asked at all? Nothing ever happened from it?
For 15?
No. Okay.
Which is why I said I'll never do anybody's All-Stars.
Oh.
But 15? No.
So you're done with the drag competition aspect?
Unless I go to a regular season, if that miracle ever happens, then, girl, probably.
You would want to do a regular more than an All-Stars?
100%.
Why is that?
Because I didn't have the same experiences as people on All-Stars. They lost by losing and getting sent home.
What do you say when people, because what I do a lot of times on YouTube, I'll ask people to send in questions.
Yeah.
And fans, there were a few fans that said things like, you faked breaking your foot.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
What do you say to people like that?
Oh, I just ignore it because you sound stupid. I mean, who spends a lot of money on Drag Race? A lot of it to go and say, ooh, I'm going to break my ankle on this day. Like, what sense does that make?
Yeah.
It just, they need any kind of theory to, people need a reason to dislike you or people need a reason to make it resolve for them. Yeah. But like, what do I look like going back and forth with a person? Oh no, I didn't hurt myself. Here's a doctor's record. For what? What is that going to do for me? That's once again me giving you too much access to me. I'm like, girl, I don't go down. Just like not my problem. But yeah, if you think I faked it, then sure, I faked it. Like, think whatever the fuck you want. That's not my problem. That's your theory.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I know what happened. And I'm not about to spend that much money. I mean, we saw what's happening. I was doing great on the show. You really think I wanted to leave in the middle of that, knowing they're sitting there that I was the personality and like always come in the room and I'm like, you know what? I'm doing so great and I'm having so much fun and I'm getting so much attention on every one of these episodes. I'm going to hurt myself. Bitch, I ain't been to La Creme. That was my first time going. I can't just say pick my lipstick for myself. That's dumb. So yeah, they sound very stupid. And they know they sound stupid too.
Yeah. They just, and now you like just told them they sound stupid. So now they have another confirmation.
Yeah, that they sound stupid. And I wish they would come to my Twitter and say something about it. I'll just block them too. But you're not blocked anymore, so technically you don't relate to them.
I mean, not yet. But what's the difference between being a local queen and then being on Drag Race and then your stardom hits? Like, what's the difference? Did you notice, like, a big difference? Did you start, like, do the local queens view you differently now?
This is my theory on it. And, like, how I view myself, and I feel like everybody should too. No matter if you're on Drag Race or not, you are still a local queen. You are, if I came up in Los Angeles, this is where my drag started, I am still a Los Angeles queen. I just have a stamp next to my picture when I go to gigs, and I get paid higher, obviously, for those moments. And it's like, TV did do its job, and it boosted everything, and super excited for all, like, opportunities and stuff. But I think people forget, like, girl, you're still a local queen. Mm-hmm. Even me during Drag Race, I am still technically a baby queen. When I got on Drag Race, I still qualify myself as a baby queen because I haven't been doing drag that long at all. So it's, like, not much of a difference other than, like, what opportunities are in front of you and then how much you get paid. But, like, baby, we all still local queens. At the end of the day, you still going home to your home bars and to your home venues, and that's where you feel the most comfortable at. You are local to Los Angeles. You are still a local queen. I think a lot of people forget that, and that's the problem. It's not like Drag Race is something that pushes everybody. Like, these are the best of the best. No. It is a mixture of some things are good in their eyes, some things are bad in their eyes. And people think just because they get on the show that they're better than everybody in their city, and it's not. You're probably just worse than the people in your city, and they just wanted somebody that was pretty bad. So that's why they didn't pick your friend who was better than you. That's how my mind goes. So yes, humble thyself, please.
So were you picked because one of your friends
was
better than—
I was great. Have you seen me? Hello. Went out on the fourth episode.
Oh.
Fenty.
Volume 4 on Amazon Prime.
Listen, all these opportunities. No, but it's one of those things, I think those people need to understand that too. I always tell you people like local queens and like queens who have not done the show, the same thing. It's like, don't get discouraged from not being on Drag Race. That doesn't mean the people on Drag Race are better than you, because we've seen there are some like local quote unquote queens who outperform any of these people who have touched the Drag Race stage. Other than people like Kennedy, because baby, ain't nobody touching Kennedy on nobody's dance floor. Let's be real. Listen, I have not, Kennedy and Chi-Chi, I have not seen lip syncs like that touch Drag Race's stage. So I will take that back. You know, they will eat anybody up. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, they're not better than you. I'm not better than you either. It's just all about what they wanted at the time.
Yeah.
But the people who get on the show do change sometimes, some of them. And it's like, I don't like that. Baby, you, one of us, just like, you know, we're still local. So yeah, it's just paycheck.
Paycheck.
For sure.
What's biggest paycheck you've gotten?
The biggest one? Like, you want a number or like from the gig?
Not the gig, just a number.
I can't tell you that.
Tell me the gig.
Can't tell you that either. It was a lot of money. At least, you know, five digits.
Okay, okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Should have been $100,000 or $150,000, but it wasn't. Now, that would have been the biggest one.
Yeah.
That would have been lovely, but it's cool. I mean, you can make it by working. But now I get paid pretty decently. It feeds my habit of buying them bags.
How many bags do you have?
I don't know. But I want one from each.
One from
major
each
label. So I buy bags from major labels. Then I buy bags from individual people, like small businesses who are like doing their thing. I enjoy, like, because I just like a bag. But like, if I'm going somewhere, if I wear like cheap clothes, then I put expensive items on with it. And if I wear like an expensive item, then I'll just grab one of my regular bags.
Ooh.
Yeah, you gotta mix it up.
When you, are you more of like a big bag person, a small bag? Like, how, like, what's the variety? Like, what do you like?
So I buy like the smaller ones by accident. It's like, someone will go like shopping for me, like they're like there at like Balenciaga or something. So then I'm like, oh my God, I love that bag. But when they show it to you, it looks completely different than what it is in person. I got this like this red and black, like snakeskin hourglass Balenciaga, right? And on the phone, it looked so big. I'm like, oh, that's the one. And then it got to me and was like very petite. And I was like, okay, cool. This is something I'll like take to like a carpet or something. But I prefer big bags. I carry a lot of stuff. Like, I have a lot of stuff in a bag.
Like,
usually like wrappers from candy, like a couple of napkins, my eyeglasses, like my car keys. Well, actually, I don't have a car, but like I still have car keys from the car that I had in my old house. I used to have a car in my garage, and I never drove it.
So you still
just
have those keys
bad.
In your bag.
But they're actually in there right now. The car keys, Altoids, perfume, lotion, crumbs, because, like, stuff fall out when you're eating in your bag. But that's my, oh, nails, like, glue-on nails just in case I need those. Glue. There's a lot of stuff in there. Usually a brush, huh?
Passport.
Oh, passport. You look, oh, keep looking. What else in there? You good.
You got everything but the
passport. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, I can't really, and then the alcohol.
Yeah.
But you got to have the alcohol.
What's your favorite?
Yes, but, oh, you know what I just got, like, into? Because I always see, like, in the music videos, uh-huh. and, like, I never drank it. But, what is it? Remy Martin.
Really?
Yeah, I never had Remy Martin before. But, like, I always, like, so I was, like, I Googled it. Because I have a bar at home. There's, like, one upstairs in my room, and there's one, like, downstairs. So my downstairs bar is, like, the one, like...
Two bars?
Well, there's three. There's one in front room, too. But that's, like small stuff. But, like, the one upstairs is, like, the stuff that, like, you know, I drink or if I'm hosting. Parties, not trade. Which technically sometimes is a party too. But like downstairs is like the main bar. So that's like how like all the cute bottles. So when I was clicking, I saw Remy Martin. So I got it just for decoration. So I was like, you know what? I want to try it out. It's actually really good. And I Googled it. So I was like, okay, so what do you mix with this and how do you make it? Because I actually like make drinks. Mm-hmm. I like go to YouTube.
Are you good at it?
Making drinks? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like the stuff that I drink for myself, nobody else probably would drink it because they'd be like, is it crazy? I have like a weird like palate. But for people, yeah, I like doing like the... I go to classes. You don't have classes for it. I used to go to like a Hennessy class, and they teach you the different levels of Hennessy.
There's different levels?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You can come over now that I unblocked you, and we'll like go through them. But like there's like levels, and then they teach you how to like make them. They even got like the little square ice or the circle ice, depending on which one you're drinking, and like the orange, and then like infusing it with the smoke. I learned how to do all that stuff. So I learned with Remy Martin, but it's like really good. It's very good. Very good mix, too.
So that's what's on your radar right now.
Remy Martin, I love it. I'm all I'm a 1942 person. If I ever go to a party, I always bring alcohol, and it's always a bottle of 1942 because it's what I like. And then if you sit it there, then it's going to look better than what everybody else bought.
That's true. Because
it comes in a casket.
But if you bring that to a party, mm-hmm. don't you just want to keep it so then you can drink it?
Well, I have some in my house. It's a gift to the person. I'm a firm believer you don't walk into anybody's house and like not... bring a moment. So that's why
I'm going to write that down so when I come over to your house, I don't get blocked again.
No. You're good. You come in. You got to bring them. You got to my house. It's just how I am when I go places. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to a party, I'm not about to bring no food or no napkins and stuff. Baby, I'm trying to get food. Do it. So I'm going to bring a bottle. So I always bring 1942 because it's a nice tequila.
It's a nice tequila.
You don't have to like mix it. You can just drink it. I don't let people like mix it with stuff. It's to take shots of or to sip on.
Are you more of a shots person or are you more of like a mixed drink?
I'll drink anything. But like particular things like 1942, yeah, we're going to like we're going to sip on it like as it's formed because it's smoked for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it also gets you real like fucked up. And if you take shots of it, that's not fun. That's a waste. Yeah. Like, you know, like sip. Take your time. Look cute with it. Heat it up on a little heating glass if you want to.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't have those things.
Oh. Well, we're going to heat up this break and then we are going to get back. We'll see you soon on the Sissy That Talk Show podcast.
Not heat up that break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back.
Truly.
Thanks so much for listening to the Sissy That Talk Show podcast. This isn't the outro, but I was about to do it. How are you doing, Cornbread?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're back after this break. Yeah. We're talking about some alcohol.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about it all day.
We have been. It's because you brought it.
Mood.
Oh, mood. So, I have a question. How much does your family know about your drag career?
A lot. They're actually really invested. Like, before, it wasn't too much of a thing. But, like, they're, like they're deeply invested in it now. They know stuff about me before I know it most of the time. Like, if, like, I do a project and it comes out, my brother knows way before I do. Because, like, you film it and then it comes out, like, later. Yeah, he knows all the time. But they're, like, super invested in it. Like, very invested now.
All supportive?
Oh, super supportive now, yeah. Before, obviously, we had our little issues and stuff. But, like, no, they're, like, here for, like gung ho, like very, very supportive of, which is great.
I have a question that I hope I can word it in a correct way. When it comes to being a trans woman and then having a drag career, how do you differentiate like the drag aspect before you came out?
Okay.
To the drag aspect after. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, easiest way to put it, obviously drag was the outlet a lot. So not a lot, but like some people take and then they discover themselves through that and what they're most comfortable in. But for me, honestly, it's like, I think they develop and they grow together in a sense of, like, Demoria is obviously my normal self, like my everyday self, but, like, I'm still the same crazy person when I am in drag. Drag is just my performance art and the career and, like, the person that you come up with. Before, I was doing more drag that would get me the attention that I needed to get to where I needed to go in the sense of, oh, campy, fun, blah, blah, blah. I walked around, saw what I didn't see, and I was like, okay, let me put myself there and move me up. Afterwards, now I'm doing the stuff that I want to, and I don't necessarily have to be that cornbread I was before. And then I think transition helped me with that as well. Me transitioning and being comfortable with my body and being comfortable with who I was kind of opened up a new door for me performance-wise. So it definitely changed, for sure. Yeah. But Demoria wouldn't be a person without drag, honestly, because I would have never put on, like, a wig and makeup so to, like, feel it, the fantasy.
Do you remember the first time that you put on a wig and makeup?
Yeah, I hated it.
When?
It was, I did the Orange County, there was like a pageant. The only reason I got into drag is my drag mom was like, you should do this competition. It's for people who've never done it. I said, girl, I'm not doing that shit. And she was like, it's for money. I said, okay, girl, I'm doing that shit. So I did it, and I thought I was going to do this one time. And I did it, performed, and I was like, okay, this is cool. And then from that, somebody was like, I want to hire you from brunch. And it just started to snowball. I've literally worked every single week since my first day in drag. Like, I shit you not. I've nonstop not worked. Even going to come to West Hollywood, I was like, doing it, and I was like working, I think 2 weeks in I was like doing places, and then like a month in I had like residencies and stuff, because I did musical theater before all of this. So yeah, that first moment definitely solidified it. And it was, and I'm telling you, it was the first song I performed at that pageant, girl, in a dress I couldn't fit.
Why couldn't you fit?
Because it wasn't mine, it wouldn't zip in the back, so I wore long hair.
That's smart.
And don't
did
move.
You have, you didn't move,
stay right on the stage. That's how I learned how to go ahead and just emote to the people. Got, I won for the best performance. I lost the pageant, though, because I ain't raised the most amount of money. I didn't know that was a factor. Should have known it was a charity event. Put two and two together. But yeah, that's my first time. I still go watch it, too. But still do it.
Is it on YouTube?
No, I watch. I go to the pageant every year.
Oh, I thought you were saying you rewatch your performance over
No,
and
I
over
won't
again.
Even look for it. But I go back to the pageant all the time and just sit in the back and like watch it, just because it's like literally what started my career, for sure. Yeah.
So it has a little place in your heart.
It does. If I had a heart, but it'd be there. But I'm kidding. Yeah.
If you had a heart.
If I had a heart. But yeah, no. It was legit. It was fine. I just hated it.
Why?
Wigs is itchy. When they're not human. and then the dress didn't fit, so that was obviously tight. And then makeup on your face. It just felt all weird and like,
yeah.
You know, I think I was weird because I felt comfortable, if that makes sense. I think I was weirded out because I was so comfortable. With like what it was, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to like feel, you know, because I'm just like still in my like mental of transitioning and stuff, and I didn't know what that was. So I probably was weirded out because it was too comfortable that I hated it. Maybe, maybe that's what it was. This is therapy now.
It is therapy.
Look at you getting me through.
Have you ever been to therapy?
Every day.
Every day.
No, I'm kidding. I go to therapy once a week.
That's good.
You got to keep your mental together.
You do.
If you crazy like me, you need therapy. As much shit as I talk, and on the regular, and as much crazy stuff that come out my mouth, I need to tell somebody the stuff that I don't say. Yeah.
What do you think your therapist thinks about you?
She think I'm crazy. She told me. She said, something wrong with you, Chad. I said, baby, I know that. I'm here talking to you. She funny as hell. And she be reading me down.
Really?
Yeah. My therapist is funny. But I've had like 2.5 years, 3 years. Yeah. So she know me. So she be like, ooh, now girl, I can't excuse you for that. Like, she'll let me know for sure. She thinks I'm batshit. And she's correct.
Well, that's good that you know that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You got to know it. You can't live like this if you don't know it. Baby, I live in my crazy. But batshit ain't bad. But no, I do have a therapist. She's great. Like, she talks to me all the time about, like, how I be presenting myself and saying stuff. Before I tweet stuff, sometimes I talk to her about it, too.
Really?
Hell
did
yeah,
you talk to her before you blocked me?
Mm-mm. But I called her. I said, girl, I had to block his ass. right on the bus. You playing about for real. No, but I explained to her why. She said, that's a good thing because, you know, you a year ago would probably try to go back and be combative. I'm like, yeah. But she don't know I'll be combative in people's inboxes. I don't tell her that part.
Because that's private. Like, girl. You can't see that in public.
And she going to listen to this, too. Mm.
Is she?
Oh, she listens and watches everything. I heard what you said. And then she drags me on it. She's really good.
What does she think of your dating life?
She know I'm a hoe.
Are you a hoe?
No, I'm actually not a whore. I'm actually not as sexually active today. I was last night, though. But, like, yeah, no, I'm not much of a whore. I screw the same people. I have my same Rolodex.
Okay.
I can count on my hand the amount of people that I've hooked up with throughout
my life. What's
your
definition of hooking up?
Like, contact. What do you mean?
Because sometimes people, like, hooking up means actual sex, like penetration. And then sometimes hooking up just means, like...
Anal is not sex. So that does not count, first off.
What'd you say?
Anal does not count. That's not sex.
Okay.
We all know
well,
that.
Then what's hooking up?
When they pay for it? No, I'm kidding. No, like, but like if you make contact, anything in the form of like.
So is making out hooking up?
Sucking the fucking, what you want me to say? No, making out, no. That's a way to say hello.
Is sucking a dick?
Yes, that's hooking up.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Dangling participles in your throat, that's definitely a hookup. But yeah, like that. But I can count on my hand. Because I'm too lazy to go look for extra. I'm going, okay, we already cool with each other. Ain't no ties in there. I like this. I can go about my business. You go about your business. If we need to, we'll watch a little movie. We'll watch a little Naruto, a couple of episodes. And sometimes we like be fucking around. But like, yeah, it's like the same people.
So are you not interested in the dating pool?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be fair.
Why?
Because I don't be having no time. Ask my friends. I barely look at my phone to answer a text message on the record. David can tell you. I don't answer text messages. I don't answer phone calls. So it's like, I'm always like, my mind now was like, get into everything you can do. Like, get a business, do this and this. So now that I've gotten the platform, I don't want to just stop at Drag Race. Mm-hmm. I worked here to get to this point. Now it's past Drag Race. Drag Race was just a stepping stone. Drag Race was a gig that was a bigger gig than the ones I had before. Now I'm trying to propel. So I'm like, I don't want to like, get in a relationship with somebody and to be shady towards them. If I'm not available, if I'm not there and available to you as a person, like I want you to be to me, then I'm not going to do that to you. That's screwing somebody. I'm not doing that.
But that's good that you do that because a lot of people don't.
No, for sure.
And a lot of people just leave people on or ghost people or be whatever.
And what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
Girl, and then I'm going to have to really talk to my therapist.
Yes.
So no, I know. I don't know. I do want to eventually like settle down. Like, I want, like, to adopt children. Multiple.
Multiple?
Yeah, but, like, when I'm older, like, I'm, like, super rich. And, well, I don't want to be rich. I want to be wealthy. Because rich is just a cute little coin. Wealthy is, like, I ain't got to do nothing. Mm-hmm. But I'm, like, super wealthy. I want to adopt kids that are, like, 15 and 16. And just, like, put them all the way through their last little years of high school. And then pay for them to go to college. And then be done with it.
What are they assholes?
Well, then, I'm an asshole, too. That's just life. Assholes just need love. Don't your asshole need love?
You know what? Yeah, it does.
Girl, all assholes need love. Whether they're people or actual assholes.
Yeah.
That's why you asked me to stick a taxidermy rat up my ass on the last segment. But no, because kids like that don't get like adopted. Like 15 and 16 years old, I was like put out of my house at a very young age and somebody took me in. So I wanted to like, give them an opportunity and I want to put them through college to show somebody like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. But I don't want no toddlers. Well, baby, I ain't changing no diapers. No.
You don't like a baby.
Mm-mm. I got my puppy.
Yeah,
the trainer was knocking on the door 5 minutes before they dropped her off. Baby, you got to teach her to piss on the pad or something because I'm not about to sit up here and clean her shit. She's really good at it, though. But she has a trainer that comes to see her every day. Teach her because I ain't got time to be picking on nobody's shit.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But yeah, no babies.
No babies. Mm-mm.
Old ass kids.
Okay, so what would you, what's your like dream guy?
Dream guy? I never thought about that. Like, who do I want in this moment of time?
Who do you want in your future moment in time?
Well, this is going to change through the years. But me right now, I want a good, like, 80, 85 years old, super wealthy, will easily sign over the deeds, but, like, kind of sort of rough health issues.
So Anna Nicole Smith's
practically,
old husband.
Hell yeah, get that bag. But, like, in the future, they'll probably change.
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm not in a relationship. That's what, too bad money. But, yeah, I'll take them, you know. Decrepit, love it. Check. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. No one's ever asked me that question. I don't have like a standard kind of situation.
Well, we have a standard and we're going to go to a break. I'll be right back with more of Sissy That Talk Show podcast. We are back. It's the Sissy That Talk Show podcast. I'm with the beautiful Cornbread.
You're so sweet. By the way, I love your outfit.
Thank you.
This is actually really cute.
Thanks.
You trying to get run for our money, huh? This is a crispy-ass suit. I like this. I don't even lie to you.
Thank you.
This is nice.
Thank you. I'll pass it right on to you afterwards.
Give me a couple months to lose some weight so I can get in that motherfucker, but I take it.
Cornbread, you became really good friends with Willow Pill.
Yeah.
How do you feel about her win and all of that she has coming towards her?
I kind of knew she was going to win it.
You knew after you left?
Yeah, after I left for sure. She was somebody I did look at as competition while we were there. Not competition like, oh my God, I need to keep up with this person more in the sense of, okay, cool. There's a way of her storyline and her life and what she's presenting on the main stage could be something that can be like, paired, you know, with what I'm doing, my trajectory, my storyline, and all this stuff like that. But like, well deserved, 100%. Very creative. I feel like she deserved it. I'm not just being biased on it. Like, it was a very good, like, innovative way to do drag. And everybody's like, oh, she's gonna be weird, like Evie. And I feel like her and Evie were completely opposite of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Willow style of drag in her mind is just like insane and like the best way. And it's also things that I always wanted to try for myself too, but I was just like afraid to do it. The drag that I presented on Drag Race was very much me still listening to the standards of what X, Y, and Z should be. And like, things got crazy afterwards because of Willow. I was like, I literally wore these mushroom earrings. That's my homegirl. And it's like a Willow kind of moment. And we just talked on the phone too before I came over here. So we're still like this.
Have you guys done mushrooms together?
Shrooms. We did shrooms one time together and it did not work on me. It was me and a few other people in the cabin along with Willow. I won't say their names because I don't know if they're like open to to talk about it. But yeah, we did them. And then I was sitting there and I was like, okay. And they were like crawling on the floor and they were seeing a lot of shit. And I'm like, bitch, I don't see nothing. And I'm like, well, what happened? I'm like, well, how come everybody else tripping, but I'm
they
not?
They gave you the placebo.
Or did that, or I was probably bigger than all of them. So it was just, it didn't flow. They were little motherfuckers. So for me, I was like, well, maybe I should have drank two cups and not just one. But yeah, it didn't work. I wasn't hallucinating. Probably because I already see shit in my probably crazy. It probably made me normal. Because I'm already crazy and see shit on a regular. Something wrong with me. I told you my therapist should be going through it because of me. So maybe the shrooms made me a quite normal person. It might have balanced it out.
For those couple of hours.
That's what was wrong with me. I saw clarity when I did them shrooms. I was normal when I did them. Might need me some more. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I didn't feel anything from it. But she was tripping like a bitch. She was crawling. And she was just knew she was into the ground. I'm like, baby, you're not in the ground. You're on the couch. And she just knew she was just traveling. And I'm like, girl, you just literally sitting here. She's going crazy. The other person was in the jacuzzi talking about they see aliens coming.
Missy Elliott.
If I would have saw her coming there, I would have asked for autograph. No shade. Shrooms or not, I would have asked.
But somebody thought Missy Elliott was
aliens in the jacuzzi.
Oh, aliens. I thought you said Missy Elliott.
No, but that probably would have been trippier than the damn aliens. Oh, I see Missy Elliott coming. I'm like, bitch, no, you don't. But yeah, no, I didn't trip too bad.
Okay.
Girl.
That's good.
I want to do it again now.
Yeah. Sure. I got some. We're going to go to Disney in a couple of weeks.
I would do that. I haven't been to Disney in forever.
You want to do those shrooms?
Yeah. I would go. Because I couldn't fit on any of the rides. Like, what's the point of me going if I can't fit the ride?
You can fit on the ride.
Shit. You can fit on the ride. Them damn things ain't coming. That harness ain't coming over these damn titties of this waist. And you know that. So what's the point of going to Disney? To walk around and eat? I'm going to be sluggish and mad. I want to get on the roller coaster. So I got to wait. We can go in like 6 months.
Okay, 6 months.
I would actually go with you. I'm not kidding.
I would too.
I'm not a liar.
I got a pass, so we can go.
I don't have one of those, but I'll get one.
Yeah. And then we got the goods.
You got fast pass?
Yeah. I also...
Okay, good.
Yeah, I got some goods. I got okay. A lot of goods.
I still got my
front
boot.
Of the line
I got
stuff.
My boot from the show, too.
Oh, so you can get the disability pass.
Don't say that on the fucking podcast. If you're going to come attack my ass, the fuck is wrong with you? Why the hell would you say that? Why would you say that? Now they're about to come over here and kick my ass.
You said you had your boot.
Yeah, but you ain't had to say it, damn it. You know what I meant when I said the boot. You should have kept that to yourself.
I'm sorry.
I could have lied. Like, no, I'm talking about my walking boot. And you're going to tell the people what I'm talking about for real. Now I'm going to let you wait in the line when I go in front of you. You snitching. You snitch on me. Now I'm about to get blocked by people. We should have our own show called Block. No, I'm kidding.
Block?
People we've blocked yes. And why we did it. No, I'm
yes, blocking everybody. I did look at my phone too, and Crystal Method did block me. So
I told you.
I know.
We were sitting on the bus together.
Why were you talking about me on a bus?
Why were you talking about us at your house? See? It matches up, doesn't it?
It does match
tit
up.
Tit for tat, baby.
Tit
no, I'm kidding.
For tat.
She, it was, they literally, you stressed everybody out. I'm telling you. They were like, I think we'll talk about that later. We're gonna have a conversation. That's gonna be more of an off podcast conversation. But they're not bad, but like, yeah, we ain't gotta keep beating the dead horse. Don't come after me, Peter. That's a phrase.
Peter.
Dead
horse. Oh, because you're beating a dead horse.
Yeah, they're about to come after me talking about beating on animals and stuff. They'll twist it.
They will twist it.
Yeah.
And then they'll take Miley Cyrus and put her nude on a cover and put PETA across her chest.
Somebody did that?
They're always naked.
That's very specific. But why Miley Cyrus?
Because I think she did it before.
She put PETA on her titties?
Yeah, I think so.
I could put the whole organization against man. I could put their whole like manuscript of what they do across my titty because, you know, Miley got them little ones. So she just put PETA.
Are titties fun?
They actually are until they're not.
But when are they not fun?
When your back be hurt like a bitch. Like, that's be the only reason. Or when you lay down too fast and they lean back, you almost choke yourself. That ain't good either. I'm into choking, but I don't like surprise choking.
Yeah.
Like, I want to scream, choke me, daddy, but the titties, they just going to choke on their own if you, like, doing the wrong way. Ugh. But on the airport, in the airplane, when you're sitting there and you want to lean side either way, you do like the perfect pillow. Lovely. These titties have helped me in so many occasions.
Wow.
Good and bad. Mm-hmm. I fooled many people with these things.
What do you mean by fooled?
They be tricked.
How?
When you go to the straight club. Mm-hmm. And they be like, hey, yo, what's up? I'm like, hey. And they're like, oh my God, I be shocked. And then they look down. Oh my God, the first time I went to the airport before I changed my ID to my passport, like my passport just like look like me now. It was me like back in the day. And so I had like a little mustache, a little beard and all this stuff. But like I was already starting my transition, so I needed to fly. So I walked up in a dress, but it was a dress which was like push up and everything. So I walked and I handed him, I think I was in Florida of all places. And I handed him my ID and he was looking like, and I was like, yes, that's me. And then he was very shocked. So these titties have confused lots of people. TSA, they definitely run me through that thing a few times because they don't know what's going on up in here. But now my ID looks like me, so we're good. Mm. But they confuse people.
Do you like airports?
Hate them. Loved them before. After Drag Race, despised them. Atlanta Airport, ugh.
Oh, Atlanta Airport's the worst.
I've seen Atlanta Airport way more than I wanted to. Like, I've been to airports so much, I became Delta Diamond in like 6 months. I'm always in the airport. So Atlanta is always where you transfer over. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't stand it.
When you do gigs, do you get booked on first class or coach?
What do you mean?
Like, do you choose?
Do I choose? Is it a rider? I don't ask for nothing.
What do you ask for?
I don't ask for no alcohol. I ask for no snacks. I ask for no food. I just want a good seat on the airplane. That's it. That's all I ask for. So you want in the dressing room? Nope. You don't need this? Nope. I don't need you to get me. I don't need you to pick me up. You just your job to get me the hotel and get me there. But as long as you get me a nice seat on the plane, I don't need nothing else from you. It's just my comfort getting there. That's the only thing I need. Everything else I can do by myself. I can order my own food.
Yeah.
If I need makeup, I can get my own makeup. If you need, people ask for like, oh, I want cigarettes and chewing gum. Bitch, that should be in your bag anyway. So it just doesn't make no sense to me. So yeah, I don't ask for nothing but a good flight. That's it. And if you can't, then I can't do it.
Window or aisle?
Oh, depending on how long the flight is and where I'm going. If it's like a quick flight, then give me the aisle. If it's like a sit down long situation, the window so I can lean my head. Mm. Yeah. No middle though, because there won't be a middle seat in the section. I'm sitting there.
All right. Well, last question for you, Cornbread, is Barbara Walters used to always ask people and celebrities that she interviewed, if they were a tree, what tree would they be? But I would like to know from you, if you were a sandwich, what sandwich would you be?
Ooh. I don't know, honestly. That's really hard. A sandwich?
Okay, what about pizza?
That's hard, too.
Chicken.
It's like, why would you ask that? That's the hardest thing somebody could ask. That's stressful. A sandwich?
A sandwich, yes.
I don't know. That's hard. I'm not even trying to be dramatic. That's very hard. Like, what kind of sandwich would you be?
Okay. If I were to be a sandwich.
You see how stressful that is?
I get it.
That stressed me out. Because now on the whole car ride back, I'm going to be thinking about sandwiches and what kind of sandwich I would be if I was on somebody's goddamn table. And I wouldn't know. Now I feel like I'm less than the rest of the world because everybody knows what sandwich they want to be, but not me. Who know that many sandwiches?
There's a lot of sandwiches. You can go to Subway and you have a variety.
See, that's how I know what sandwich I want to be. That's very the multiple personalities I got. I would be a tray. You know the trays they do at parties with the multiple flavors of sandwiches? That would be me. I would be a sandwich platter.
So you're a surprise.
Yeah, I got a lot of personalities. They're in here talking now. I was trying to see which one I was going to let do the podcast today. They're in there fighting because one don't want to get a word. I said, girl, stay back. But like, yeah, so I would be like a whole tray. Let's do that. A tray of sandwiches because you. I don't know which one I'm going to be. But I'm going to eat every last one of them. I'm going to just pick one up because it's a lot of pressure. Grabbing a sandwich off a sandwich tray.
Well, guys, you can go grab your sandwich on your sandwich tray as you watch the Sissy That Talk show, the actual YouTube episode. You can go check that out on YouTube. This has been the Sissy That Talk show podcast. Thank you so much, Cornbread, for being here and chatting it up with me.
Thank you. No, I really enjoyed myself. But a sandwich, though?
I know.
You well, still sandwich.
Bye.
Sandwich.
Sissy That Talk Show podcast is a Moguls of Media and Forever Dog production. Hosted by Joseph Shepherd. Produced by Big Dipper, Joe Cilio, and Mariah Nicholas. Engineered by Margot Padilla. And edited by Doug Robertson.